Welcome to the Department of Agricultural Economics podcast. This is your host, Jessica Eyes, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster, who's the head of the Department of Agricultural Economics here at Purdue University. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing well, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing very well also.
Yeah, hey, you know, this is like a real time of competition in the world. You know, we got baseball playoffs going on, Purdue football, well, you know, it could be better, but we've got football games on weekends, and the basketball team at Purdue is getting ready to start playing. They had their first practice last weekend, open to the public. I didn't make it, but I know some of the people who did, and it looks like we're going to have a great team in basketball this year at Purdue. So it's that time of year.
It is that time of year, and it's you know, what you listed were all athletic competitions,
well, you know,
but we do have some other competitions.
We do have academic competitions.
Indeed.
That's right, yeah, and actually our department participates in some of those at the national level.
And joining us today is the academic quiz bowl team from our department, who have been champions at the national level for 2 years running.
That's right, yeah. In San Francisco, back in late July, they defended their national championship successfully, I might add, defended their national championship. So we're really excited and proud of them.
Indeed we are, and we have the team of three were all able to join us today, and we're gonna go through and have them introduce themselves. So we'll go ahead and start with Andrew.
Yeah, my name's Andrew Johnson. I'm a recent graduate of the department, and I'm now continuing my education studying for a master's degree here in the Department of Agricultural Economics, and originally I'm from Orleans, Indiana.
And you know that means that he's not an undergrad anymore. He can't compete on the team.
Bummer.
Total bummer.
but I can still coach.
Yes, you can coach.
That's it. There we go.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jason Xiao. I'm from Nanchang, China, and I'm a senior here in the Purdue Agriculture Economics Department.
I'm Elizabeth Blinn. I'm a senior in the Ag Econ department with Ag Business, and I'm also studying accounting in Cranert.
Okay, this is intense because we have two seniors and one's already moved on, so who's going to fill in there?
Well, they can still compete.
These two can still compete for one more year.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that our coach, Dr. Michael Gunderson, has some new talent in the stable that he's been grooming, you know, and so we're definitely going to try and, you know, go for the three-peat.
I hope so. This
yeah,
is
we're definitely
dense.
Going for the three-peat, you know, in July.
Okay, so my first question for the three of you is, first of all, can you give us a little bit of background on what this competition is? Andrew, you want to?
Yeah, so the best way to think about this competition would be to think of it as a team-based Jeopardy contest. So it's very much like Jeopardy in that there's questions, they're divided into categories, and they have point values. And if you get it right, you win the points, and if you get a question wrong, you lose the points. But the difference is that instead of competing as an individual, you compete on a team of three people against another team from three people, and you try to see which team can be the first to buzz in and answer the question.
Now, is this a friendly rivalry you have with your competitors, or would you say it gets tense at times?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So give us an example, somebody.
Usually it's very friendly. You know, we really enjoy going and meeting people from other schools. It's a good experience for all of us to kind of interact with faculty and see what's going on in the profession. But it can get really intense sometimes, particularly when you've got two teams that are very good going against each other. And I know for us, our sort of rival over the past year has been the University of Kentucky.
That probably brings up all kinds of...
We've bumped into them several times, and, you know, the competitive juices really come out during matches like that.
Oh, I can imagine. It's pretty intense. Ken and I have watched these.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You're sitting in the audience watching
and getting
nervous. I can't answer half the questions, which is really kind of embarrassing. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, where do you get these questions? How do you prepare for this?
You actually use a lot of the learning that you've gained from classes at Purdue.
Uh-oh, so that's bad. I'll be able to answer these questions in
that. That should attest to our high teaching caliber here, because yeah, she uses what she learns in the classroom.
Apparently all the classes except for mine. So what else do you do to prepare?
I think you not only have to know the answer, but you have to be fast enough to answer the question. So for me, I'm not the fastest. I think Andrew is. But I really need to spend a lot of my spare time to go over all the kinds of questions and review it, even though they're really simple concepts. But I feel like these stuff are not only really valuable for the competition, but you also they build a really strong base for my study as well, like if I'm going to continue my study in econ or ag econ.
All right, here's the question that I have been thinking about ever since we scheduled this podcast with you three. What motivated you to join the Active Inquisible team?
Oh, that's easy. For me, it goes back to the things Dr. Foster was talking about earlier about competition. I'm admittedly a wannabe college athlete, but that wasn't in the cards for me. It's not my path. And so when I got to Purdue my freshman year, I was desperately searching for something that I could compete at, that I felt like mattered on at least some level, and where the probability of me winning was reasonably high.
Very good.
And so when I stumbled on the Quiz Bowl, it really fit all those categories, and I jumped on it.
You and Ken have something in common, because Ken is also very competitive.
Someday we're going to have to go play basketball.
Andrew's like, no, that's not my area of strength. I want to play something.
Well, I bet it is.
No, he wants to play something where he can beat you.
Oh, he probably can.
Basketball, specifically basketball, is what I wish I was playing someplace.
There we go.
And for the listeners out there, you know, I'm 6'3", so I will say that I do like my odds against Dr. Foster.
And apparently
yes,
who is
not 6'3"?
He apparently still has 4 years of eligibility left. So how about the other two? What brought you into the team? I think that's a great question.
It's not so much for me what brought me in, because it was, again, a little bit of the competitive, but it's what keeps me there, because I've come back for all I've done it 4 years. And it's the teamwork and the friendships that I've built within it is really tight and close. So that's what keeps me there.
Very cool. Yeah.
And I think I'm the only one who joined the team for the first time this past year. And I feel really grateful for this opportunity, because at the beginning, I didn't even know there's a Quiz Bowl team. Mm-hmm. Well, I heard about it, but I didn't know what's that about. And I was doing a research with Dr. Holly Wong from our department. And she mentioned that to me and said, if you want to go to San Francisco, because me and Andrew also presented a paper there. So if you want to go to San Francisco, probably you can join the Quiz Bowl team, and probably you can compete and learn some new stuff, make friends. And I said, why not? Then I joined the team, and everyone's really friendly and helpful. I really love this team.
Yeah. We've got a lot of interesting different motivations for this. You know, the last time I competed in an academic Quiz Bowl was seventh grade.
Really?
Yeah. We were state champions,
by the way.
But it had nothing to do with me. It was, there was one guy on our
team. They just needed three people on the team, right?
There was this one guy who was brilliant, and then yeah, I just was there for emotional support.
There you go. Isn't that always the case, right? No, not in this particular case. So we've got three great people.
Okay, another question. I'm sorry, Ken, but I've just got all these questions.
No, absolutely.
What happens? Do you ever have a tension between the three of you, like, for tactics that you want to use,
or somebody hit the buzzer and now you've got to figure out what the answer is?
Yes. I tend to be the person that's like reevaluates their decisions and makes them think through them. Usually after we've already hit the buzzer and realize we don't know what the answer is, kind of thing. That's more of my role,
okay,
I guess.
For those of you who are listening, you can't see, but they're all staring at each other with varying looks of intensity on their face. So I think there's a lot of things that are going unsaid.
So there's definitely a line between being aggressive and trying to buzz in ahead of the other team and being too aggressive and putting yourself in a position where you get a lot of negative points because you buzz in before you've read the question completely and fully know whether you do or do not know what the answer is. So I am the aggressive one. Sometimes after, reading three words, I'm confident that I know where it's going and I feel like going for it. And so this has worked well. based on the fact that, you know, we've won a couple national championships, but it has backfired on several occasions. And Elizabeth is always quite happy to let me know that I should not have acted in the way that I did when that happens.
Yeah. Teamwork is such a curious thing.
It is.
It's a very...
And for teams to be functional, you sort of need people to have some differences in their roles, right, and in their capacities, right? Because if everybody had the same sort of skill set, then, you know, you're very unidimensional. So it's kind of neat to hear that you all are sort of filling different niches as a member of this team. And sometimes it's not, I don't want to use it, I hesitate to use this term, it's not the brightest team, but it's the best organized and functioning team that wins the competition. So it's kind of cool, or has the most success. But do you guys ever buzz or buzz in, you know, very aggressively just to intimidate the other team?
Oh yeah, do you have intimidation tactics?
So a few things here. We don't really try to intimidate very much with that kind of an approach.
This is an academic team.
You think academics aren't competitive? This may be the most competitive environment I've ever worked in.
So that kind of strategy has been used in the past by teams that have had a lot of success. It's not something we've tried. But we have found ourselves in situations where when you're coming down to the end, when the score is close and there's only five or six questions left on the board, you really hate to let the other team get the first crack at it. And so we got in a couple of matches in this past competition that were like that in San Francisco, and we kind of went into the mode of, okay, you know what, we're going to kind of take control of our own destiny here, and we're going to buzz in, and that's just going to be how we're going to handle this situation. In those instances, it actually worked. I mean, you know, we won, so it worked out very well for us, and we were able to come through.
Here's a question I have for you. You know, English isn't your first language.
Yes.
So did you find that you had to, like, work a little bit harder to be able to, because you had to really speed read that on the screen. So how was your experience with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe I'm not that kind of aggressive player. Mm-hmm. So I would like to buzz in when I know the exact answer and I'm 100% sure I'm correct. So I don't buzz in a lot, but once I buzz in, I feel like I know the answer. And in my spare time, I think I spend quite an amount of time studying the material, but I still can't be as fast as these guys. But I try my best, and I think we worked really well in the competition, and we won.
Have you noticed that your language skills have improved since starting on the team?
I'm not sure exactly.
Oh,
but
man, I'm trying to get you to say yes, so that way our international students listening will be like, oh, this is the perfect thing for me to join. It's going to help me.
Yes, I improve a lot.
For all you international students listening, that one's for you.
There you go. No, but I think this is a great opportunity for students from all perspectives to, do a little self-discovery. Find out, you know, a little bit more about yourself, and learn a little bit, and meet some new people, and even travel, right? Mm-hmm. San Francisco next year, Boston, right? So pretty cool. Congratulations to you guys. We're really excited about what comes next.
And I know we're all rooting for the three-peat. Is that what you call it?
The three-peat, man.
Is that a sports term? The three-peat?
Yeah. Sort of, I think, isn't it?
Or did you just make that up?
No, I did not make that up. The first time I heard that was when the Purdue men's basketball team did the three-peat for the Big Ten championship.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 1990s.
Yeah, I'm not up on my sports.
I think that was the first team to do that since Ohio State in the 1950s.
Probably.
Bob Knight was on that Ohio State team. Mm-hmm. Little fun basketball
factor.
Well,
Bob Knight sat on the bench on that team. I think that was John Havlicek's team, wasn't it?
John Havlicek and but Jerry Lucas.
Lucas, okay.
This is
hilarious. You can edit all this out.
I'm not editing this out. This is staying in. All right. Okay. So with all that said, you really do now get the full impression that these are trivia people. So I want to thank the three of you for coming in to join us, finding time in your busy schedules. And for those of you who are listening, again, this was our Academic Quiz Bowl team who just won the second championship at the national level. And you are listening to the Agricultural Economics Podcast from Purdue University. And you can go ahead and visit us on our webpage,
www.agecon.purdue.edu.
Or you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks.